In our series, we've been learning how to take a stand against our enemies. How to take a stand against our enemies. And we understand this, that in the scriptures, Ephesians 6:12, which will not be posted, but for your notes, make sure you're taking notes so that you can study these things on your time at home. It says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places." So understand that when I'm talking about take your stand, understand this, when I'm talking about the Christian needs to take a stand, I'm not saying that you go to your aunt, to your neighbor and say, "Hey, I'm taking a stand against you. Turn off that music." No, because our battle is not against people. Our battle is against the enemy. It always has been. It always will be. And we need to stand strong against him. Let us pray this morning. Father, we love you. Open up the eyes of our heart. Open up the anointing, the blessing of your word, God. And may each one of us be encouraged, challenged. And may each one of us grow closer to you, God, through your word. So that we can have the ability to take our stand against the enemy and not allow him to rob from us, not allow the enemy to take from us, not allow the enemy to disrupt our walk with God, but that we would learn by scripture on the authority that we have in Jesus' name. And each one said, amen, amen. In our world today, as I mentioned earlier, we are seeing our enemy make his presence known. He is making his presence known through in many ways. We see attacks on our nation, on other nations, okay? And this is not meant to scare anybody, but it is to be relevant and inform everybody. Because as I told you last week when we started this series, that we cannot simply ignore or be ignorant of the enemy's devices. If we are going to face off, we've got to be able to see what the enemy is doing and be very aware of it so that we can take our stand against him. So we know that these things, and the Bible says that when you see wars and rumors of wars, what does Jesus say to do? He says to look up, for your salvation draws near. Look up. Nowhere in the Bible did Jesus or the word of God say that we are to be in fear. But Jesus said, when you see all of this nasty stuff, when you see the wars, the rumors of war, he didn't say, go down and get under your table and get under your chair and hide. Pull the covers over your head. He said, no, he said, look up, for your salvation draws near. Look up to God. Look up to the strength in the Lord. Look up to him who can do all things. Because we see the attacks upon churches, upon other people's lives. Of course, in our own lives. How many has felt an attack of the enemy in the last week? Oh yeah, see, most of you. Most of you have felt an attack against the enemy. And how many want to know or know that we don't have to stand for that? That we have authority in Jesus' name to not allow the enemy to have the victory. He can attack all he wants to. But he cannot defeat the Christian believer filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Right. And let's talk about this in scripture. So with so much happening, this can cause a person to develop a deep sense of insecurity for the future and the fear of the unknown. Let's talk turkey. Get it? Turkey? No. Yeah. But how many know what I'm talking about? When you see all of these things going on, it can cause a deep sense of insecurity. It can begin to see, plant a seed in us of fear. And that's how the enemy always wants to keep people in line. Every single dictator throughout time rules by what? Fear. Fear. So people will make you under their control if they can instill fear. One of the greatest nations, I should say, never mind. Let me back that up. We're the greatest nation. But one of a nation who comes and stands against us, and you all know the news, rules their area by fear. Dictatorship. Fear. And yet that's how the enemy works. He wants to cause fear. So, as I stated before, in Christ we do not have to fear. Because listen to what 2 Timothy 1:7 says. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not put into us a spirit of fear. How can we fear when we know that greater is He that's in me than that in the world? He says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear to fear anybody. You fear nobody, because I, the living God, the Creator, the one who spoke out the word and the earth was created, I am the one who dwells in your life. So why would you fear? I have not given you that spirit of fear. The spirit of fear and confusion comes from the enemy. That's not God. And we're going to learn how to crush the enemy if we can get there. So we understand this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. But of power. You know what this word power indicates? Dunamis, Holy Spirit filled power of God. He said in Acts chapter 1:8, he told the apostles, the disciples at that time, what did he say? Go and wait until you are filled with what? Power from on high to be my witness, to be my strength, to be that that would go forth and be the hands and the feet of the Lord in doing the work of God, coming against the enemy, praying against those things that would try to take down other believers. He says, you wait till you are filled with dunamis power. So it says here, we are but of power. God has given us power. But let me tell you something about this power. Let me tell you something about this power. Like anything, you can have as much power under the hood of any car, right? But unless you push the gas, you will never, ever use it. You trekking with me? You can have the horses under the hood, but if it just sits there and idle, what good is it? Likewise, when the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, this indicates to us it's an active power. Meaning that if we take a step of faith, if we engage the enemy, God will give us the power to overcome him. If we engage those and begin to witness, God will give us the power to witness. If we begin to walk up to people and pray for their sickness, God will empower us to pray for their sickness. Do you see? It's an act of faith. We will be filled with power, enough power to do what God has called us to do. But if we just sit down on idle, then why do we need to be filled with power? It's an active power that when you step forward, when you say, I will take my stand against the enemy, God will fill you with the power necessary to overcome. When you take a step for God, God will fill you with the power necessary to take that stand. The same power that Jesus filled Peter with when he said, come, step out of the boat, onto the water, and come to me. Are you kidding? Think about that. I've tried it. It don't work. But if the Lord beckons you and calls you, He will empower you to even walk on water. That's the power of God when there's an act of faith. But notice, Peter needed to take a step, didn't he? And God empowered him to achieve. So, God has given us power and of love and agape love. That is the love that we talked about, the fruit of the Spirit, love. That is that you can love your enemies, that you can love the unlovable, that you can reach out like God did and say this, forgive them, God, for they know not what they do. You ever got there before? Forgive them, God, for they know not what they do. They are ignorant. But we still love. We love. And we've talked about that in the past. And of a sound mind, he says. The word here, sound mind, indicates that God has given us the spirit to be controlled in all things, to have a self-discipline, right? Self-control. That whatever the situation arises, whatever comes against us, God has empowered us through his spirit to stay in control. A sound mind. Why? Because he puts our focus on him. Have you ever been in a situation where you're like beginning to freak out, start yelling Calgon, and you start doing all this stuff? Calgon, take me away. You start to, and all of a sudden you just feel this overwhelming presence just come over you and say, it's going to be okay. You see, that's a sound mind, because the Holy Spirit draws you back to Jesus. He fixes your eyes upon Jesus, and it becomes okay. And you become self-controlled, and you don't freak out for everything that happens. Let me tell you something. A Christian who is freaking out on every single thing that happens in life is not a good witness of Christ. Think about that for a minute. We have faith in the mighty God. Faith can raise the dead. Faith can do this. Oh my God, my car just broke down. What's God going to do now? People will be like, whoa, don't take very much to rock your boat. But we want to keep a sound mind. We want to keep a faith in God. God's got this. God's got this. Listen to 1 John 4:5, and check this out. It's absolutely wonderful. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Okay? And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible says that every child of God defeats the evil world, and we do this through our faith in Jesus Christ. Are you a child of God? Then the Bible tells you and me that we defeat the enemy of this world. That we defeat all the sinful nature in this world if we are but a child of God. And it's only those who believe in Jesus that can defeat the things of this world. Now, we must always know this, that the greatest way to defeat our enemy will be through what? The Word of God. Yes, faith, but faith in what? Faith in faith does not work. But faith in the Word of God. Faith in God. And I know that's what you meant, brother. Faith in the Word of God. It's the Word of God that is the greatest way to defeat the enemy. How do we know that? Because Jesus himself, who is our example, who is the one that we are to mimic, because we are Christ-like. We are to be conformed in his image day by day. Jesus himself, when he faced the enemy, he said, it is written. He used the Word of God to defeat the enemy. It is written. So likewise, we must do the same. When we come against the enemy, we must say and we must take our stand, plant our feet, boom, boom, and say, enemy, it is written. If God is for me, then you cannot be against me. Jesus told me that I will have these troubles. Jesus told me that I will have problems. But he also told me to stand with him, to believe in him, because he's overcome them. So shall I. Because I learned from what Jesus taught me. It is written. Jesus said, believe in him. So we must face the enemy with the Word of God. But let me put a side note. If you don't know the Word of God, then how can you use the Word of God? I don't know Spanish. Therefore, I cannot use Spanish because I don't know it. Somebody asked me today, they said, you speak Spanish, right? I said, three words. The rest of my Spanish vocabulary I had to kick out when I got saved. Come on. Are we talking turkey or not? That's what everybody learns. Or maybe I know more than that. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, you know. Everybody knows a 1 to 10. But if you don't know the word, that's why we must implant the word of God. Thy word I have hidden in my heart so that I would not sin against thee, God. Thy word I've planted in me so that when the enemy comes in, I can take my stand on the word of God and know that I stand on the rock. And we will not fail when I stand on God. But we've got to know that. We've got to know that. And with today's cell phone technology, with today's devotions and all this stuff, man, you can download an app and you can read the Word of God all day long. And there are devotions on here, on the Bible app, that is absolutely awesome. Word of God, devotions. You know who impresses me? Is Nicole, man. You can even do friendship on here where you see what other people are doing, which is really cool. And I just read all the time. Nicole finished this devotion, this word of God, started another one. I'm like, girl, gotta catch up to this girl, man. It's awesome. And I have to imagine that that is helping, that it's empowering this woman who carries a 9-month baby. I don't know about if you've ever delivered, man. You know, the women need strength about this time. It is written. So we know as Christians, we're called to also what? Be alert. We know that we're to be very careful in this world, but yet we never back down from the enemy of God. Or we do not allow the enemy to defeat us. We know that from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 11, finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can what? Take your stand against the enemy, the devil's schemes. How many believe today that they can take a stand against the devil? And how do we do it? It is written. It is written. So from last week, we know that believers are engaged in a spiritual battle. We know that he will do anything that is speaking of the enemy to disrupt believers from growing in the Lord. He will do anything he can to keep you from coming to church. Believe you me. Because why? The enemy doesn't want you to hear the word of God. You think coming to church is just simply eating some donuts, drinking some coffee, and then coming in here, listen to some songs, and then hearing the preacher just ramble on, and then go home? No. Church is to come to, first of all, celebrate and worship our God. But then to learn and to grab what the Holy Spirit is teaching us through the word of God so that we can be equipped for this week coming forward. It's why we pray. It's why you should pray. God, fill this church, fill the minister, fill the pastor, fill the word of God that comes so they can encourage me, God, so that I can grow. So we know that the enemy wants to do everything to disrupt believers from growing. We know that the enemy from last week has blinded the people of this world so they cannot see Jesus. And as I stated before, we can't overlook the fact that our enemy is very real and that we must stand against him and that we're engaged, each one of us, in a spiritual battle. You were engaged, I was engaged in a spiritual battle long before we even thought. And the spiritual battle that you and I are engaged in is for our soul. The enemy wants to keep us away from God. God wants us to take him to him, to go to him. A spiritual battle. Even when people are blinded and don't understand, don't believe, it doesn't matter. We're still engaged in a spiritual battle. The good news is, because we've given our heart to Jesus Christ, that battle is being won. In fact, I should say this, that the battle has been won if you give your heart to Jesus Christ. But notice now what the Bible says about our adversary, the devil. In James 4:7 here, This is often a scripture that I encourage people with. But in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says this. In James, the apostle would encourage us, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and what? He will flee from you. Truth in the scriptures. When we submit ourselves to God, here's what we're doing. We're putting ourselves under his care. When we submit to God, we put ourselves under his care, under his power, under his protection, and we are submitting ourselves to his instruction. Jesus said these words, which are intense. He says, why do you say you love me, but you don't do what I say to do? Have you not submitted to me? Have you not given your heart to me? Yes, I have, Jesus. Then why are you not doing, and you're going through all this muck unnecessarily because you're not doing what I called you to do? Oh, I get that, Jesus, but listen, I got a problem. Isn't that us? In one ear, out the other? But listen, God, I got a problem. I got a problem. And God says, hey, I got the solution, man. It is written. It is written. I get that. I get that. Yeah, the pastor told me to read a Bible too, but I got this problem, God. And it's kind of like that. It's like over and over. We just keep doing the same thing over, but we've got to take in the word of God. When we submit ourselves to God, we've got to take in his instructions. James would also say earlier in chapter 1, he would say that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers. Why? Because it's when we do the word of God. Remember what I told you earlier? When we do the word of God, that's when the power of God works in our lives. When we do the word of God, we're not given a spirit of fear, but of what? Power. When we do the word of God, that is when the power of God manifests in our lives. There is no such thing as a powerless Christian. We have the living God dwelling in our hearts because we've asked him to be there. He's planted his Holy Spirit in us. So how can we say, I feel helpless, God. I am powerless, God. I can do nothing, God. And you say, wait a minute, stop. You have the Creator, the Almighty God. You have the Alpha, the Omega. You have him in your life. So how can you be powerless? How can you be powerless? We're not powerless. We might be meek, which we talked about, meek, which is power under control, a sound mind, but we're not powerless. Because we place ourselves under the care of God. When we resist the devil, submit to God then. Resist the devil. When we resist the devil, we are taking a conscious stand against him. Not allowing his temptations to lure us away from God. Let me tell you something. The devil is going to put some really cool-looking fruit in front of you. Taste and see how good the fruit that the devil puts in front of you is. The Bible says it will taste good for a season. But after that, it's rotten. Rotten to the core. So be careful. Resist his temptations to lure you away from God. Resist. Or we might find ourselves eating some fruit that is rotten to the core. So be careful. We must also keep our mind and our energy focused on God. We say, how do we consistently resist the enemy? We can't ignore that the enemy's there, right? Our military, whom we talked about earlier, they are always on watch. Even in time of peace, they are always on watch. We got boats in the water. We got feet on the ground. We got planes in the air. We got submarines underwater. Why? Because we're always on alert. Because there's a very real enemy, a very real threat. Likewise, as Christians, we must be alert. And how do you resist his temptations? How do you do that? Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Quit allowing that stinking thinking. Listen to what Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. How many think that we should be thinking about heaven a little bit more these days? Amen? And not just because we're getting older. But we should be keeping our minds, because the Bible says that we're to focus on heaven. In fact, the Bible says that we, when we get together, we're to encourage each other with the hope of glory. That is our salvation in Christ, which means we're going to heaven, folks. So it says that when we get together, the early believers, when they got together, they would encourage each other. Hey, you know, oh, you got all this stuff going on. Hey, did I tell you we're going to heaven? I mean, that's a game changer. With all the bad stuff and everything, man. Oh, I just read this. And did I tell you we're going to heaven, Steve? Yeah, that's okay. No, man, we're going to heaven. Yes. Where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. And listen to verse 2. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Think about the glory of heaven. Worship God. Praise the Lord. You know, I was reading a devotion. It said, man, when I'm going through something bad, when I'm dealing with it, you know how to turn a bad situation upside down? Start to praise the Lord. Start to worship his name. Y'all have a favorite worship song? Might be from back in 1920, might be from 2000. Whatever. But it's an anchor song. Begin to worship. Begin to sing. Try it. When you're driving and you're not feeling good, or something's going wrong in your life, just begin, hallelujah. Just begin to worship the Lord. Just worship his name. Praise it. Start going off. Start screaming like you don't care. Worship, praise his name. You'll see. Life will change instantaneously when you bring worship. Because why? You're now focusing on the things of heaven, not the things of this earth. I'm not saying that you just walk around blinded on what's going on, but I'm saying if something goes, begin to focus on God first. We must be very careful that we don't allow the enemy to get into our minds. Be careful that we don't allow the enemy to get into our minds. We have enough to think about without allowing the enemy to cause more stinking thinking. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? There's enough going on, right? You know, my plate is full. Your plate full? You know, eat the veggies first. Eat the veggies first. Eat your least favorite first. Deal with it. But listen to me. Don't allow the enemy to get into your minds, because we got enough to think. And if the enemy can get into your mind, he can start saying things and you start listening. Oh, man, you're right. I am rotten. Oh, you're right. I am. Oh, I'm not worthy. You're right. I'm not going to church on Sunday. You're right. I need to go to Disneyland. You're right. You know, I don't need to. I think he's going to go late anyways. I don't need to go there. I don't need to learn anymore. I know everything about God. I'm good. Be careful. Be careful. The more I learn about God, the more I realize I don't know about God. So we must always be learning. So don't let him get into your head. Don't let him get into your mind. But notice now the ending result of our complete submission to God. We got to have an ending result. Going back to James 4, 7. Notice that when we give our complete submission to God, notice when we resist the enemy and his temptations and his attack. Remember, it doesn't say, that a boy. Way to go, buckaroo. Doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? It says, when you submit yourself, when you resist that nasty old enemy, when you resist the enemy of God, he will flee from you. Just as the enemy fled when Jesus spoke to him, knowing that he could not win, he could not convince Jesus. He tried once, twice, three times. Jesus just kept looking and saying, come on, man, duh, it is written. The enemy just went, okay, I got no business being here. What did he do? He left. He left, man. He fleed. I picture that little pointy little stupid little tail he's got right there going between his legs and running away from Jesus. Because he has no authority over the Son of God. He has no authority over the written word of God. Nor does he have authority over the Christian, the son or girl of God. That's you and me, folks. He has no authority, so don't give him more authority than he has. Be careful. The enemy will flee. He may come back. He reach into his little bag of tricks and say, wow, okay, I tried 3 times to entice you and that didn't work. Now I'm going to come back because he's always listening. And he might come back. And then what do you do if he comes back after you've done that? After you've taken a stand against him, what do you do when he comes back? Do it again. It is written. It is written. And he'll continue to throw these at you. But here's what we got to do. In 1 Peter 5:9, which we spoke about last week, we are to stand firm in our faith. Stand firm in our faith. The enemy can come in and he can throw a barrage of attacks over and over and over. Anybody felt that before? That the enemy just keeps attacking over and over and over? Stand firm in your faith. Study the word of God. Worship the Lord. Submit to God. Resist him. Oh man, he's beating me up. Oh man, he is not beating you up. You think he is, but he's not. Because he cannot if you have Jesus Christ in your life. Now, if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then he is beating you up. Because earlier I quoted a scripture that says the only one who overcomes the world is those who are born of God. So we must have Jesus in our lives. It is our faith in Jesus Christ and our belief in God's word that is our strength. Our belief in God, our belief in his word, in the promises, that is our strength. That's how we wake up in the morning. That's how we keep on going. That's how when this world is falling to the wayside, it's our faith in God and his word and his promise. That's what keeps us going forward. Because if you lose hope, then why keep going forward? A person cannot live without hope. You can live a time without food. You can live a time without water. But you cannot live without hope. So don't let the enemy take away your hope. Don't let him rob you of your hope. Stand firm in your faith. I've experienced that many times that when a person ceases to stand firm, that when a person wavers in their faith or they simply give up, I'm not doing the church thing anymore. I'm not doing the Jesus. Nah, I tried him. Didn't work out. I was wondering, you tried Jesus, huh? How did that not work out? Like it's a fad or something. But when somebody comes to that point and they begin to waver in their faith, that's when they give up hope and then they fall into the enemy's lies and deceptions. Oh, see, I quit going to church, man, and all things are going good again. My life is better now. You know how many times I've heard that? Man, I was going to church. I was getting attacked left and right, attacked left and right, attacked left and right. Man, I quit going to church, and now everything is great, man. The devil's giving me all kinds of fruit, and it just tastes good. For a season. For a season, but it's rotten to the core. It's rotten to the core. And some would say if we're not getting attacked by the enemy, then we're really not causing him anything to be worried about. If the enemy is worried about you, he'll attack. Because he's worried about you. He's worried about what you're doing for God. Right? So if you're being left alone, you might have to ignite that power. Take a firm stand. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Go tell. And you'll see the power of God working in you. And resist him. Submit to God. The devil will flee. And look what the Bible says about those who take a stand for Christ. 1 Peter 5:10 and 11. And the grace of all and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. After you have suffered a while, the scriptures say, you know what? God is not short on telling us that we're going to deal with stuff. Some people get the misnomer, the misconception that if they come to church and they give themselves to Jesus and you know, that everything's going to be hunky-dory from then on. How many has been a believer long enough that that's not the case? That's not the case. In fact, the Bible teaches the opposite, that if you choose to live for Christ, you choose to suffer with Christ. And you say, well, sounds like a bad deal. I don't like to suffer. I don't like to be persecuted. Do you like heaven? You see, the ultimate glory is that we'll be glorified with God, that we'll be in heaven forever. And we must take the path that God sets for us in order to achieve the glory that he has waiting for us. But here's the deal. Listen to the scripture. Go back to verse 10. Somebody understand this. The God of all grace, undeserved, unmerited favor of God is grace, who called you to this eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while. What does that tell you and me? Who's going through something right now? If you're going through something right now, after you have suffered a little while, that means the season's going to change. It's going to happen. And God himself is going to restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. The season's going to change. The scriptures tell us that you're not always going to be left out to dry. God's not letting you out to just sit there and get beat up on. No, after you've suffered a while, a little, I like the word little while. I'm glad scripture didn't say a big while. I like little while. God himself will restore you, make you strong. Has anybody ever just, oh my goodness. You ever went through a trial before and you came out of it just feeling so blessed of God and so strong in your faith? You didn't know why you were going through that, but then all of a sudden when it's all said and done, man, you're standing strong and more steadfast and you are closer to God than you've ever been before. Hello, anybody? After you suffer for a little while, he'll restore you, make you stronger, give you more faith so you can be steadfast. Because the enemy is not going to give up. But if we are strong, firm, and steadfast, the enemy has no power. Do you know why the United States has the best military in the world? Because we are strong, we're firm, we're steadfast. And we do this together. Christians, let us take note, because we're in God's army. We are Christian soldiers, and we must take our stand against the enemy so that we, after dealing with the stuff for a little while, can be restored, stronger, firm, and steadfast. You see, even though we might go through stuff, even though we're going to go through stuff, God himself is there. God himself is there. Listen to what David said, and we'll close. Here's what he said in Psalms 23:4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. We often hear this at funerals, but this is an ongoing promise of God that says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, or some would hear the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid. Why? Why do we not have to be afraid or fearful in this world? Because exactly what Scripture told you and me. He says, God says, my rod, my staff, I will protect you. God says, I will comfort you. Who's the comforter? The Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I will send you another like me to dwell in you. He is the Holy Spirit, the comforter. He will teach you all things. Bring to your remembrance things I have taught you. So that when you battle the enemy, the Holy Spirit will bring up inside you and say, wait a minute, I know what to do. I heard this. I learned this. Oh, yes, here it comes. Enemy's coming. It is written. And then God will give you the scripture which is applicable to your situation. Because it's the living word of God. And through the rest of our series, we're going to learn about the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. We're going to learn on how God empowers us. But even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. I will fear no evil because God is with me the whole time. Never to leave us nor forsake us. Here's the deal, Christian. We should all walk away encouraged today. Walk away empowered today. Know that whatever it is you're dealing with is for a time, and it will pass if you continue to stand firm in your faith in Jesus Christ. And you will come out on the other side stronger, firm, steadfast, believing in what God has told you. So never give up. Never back down. Whatever the enemy wants to throw at you, you tell him, it is written. Amen? And he will flee. Wonderful. Wonderful. I want to encourage you as we come to a close. As I stated before, the spiritual battle is waging. This is real, people. But we're really getting prepared. The Word of God has prepared us. And people need to make a real decision on how they will engage their enemy. How will you engage your enemy? When the next attack comes, how will you engage him? Plan ahead. Think about it. It is written. I will trust in the Lord. And here, listen to me now. Men. Got some men out there? A couple of you. Rest of you are just males. Men need to take a stand and fight for their families. Hello? Men, take a stand and fight for your families. Like Joshua said, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Do I have any men out there? Do I have any men of God out there that will make a decision today and say, for me, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I will fight for my wife. I will fight for my children. I will engage the enemy because he will not take out my family. Because I'm a man of God and that's what I'm called to do. So listen to me, men. Stand up. Take your stand against the enemy because he's coming for our families. He's coming for our kids. Not on my watch, baby. Not on my watch. And I hope you said the same thing. How do you take a stand? You lead your family to the Word of God. Show by example, men of God. Show by example. Parents, we need to take a stand. Fight for our kids. Moms, dads. Take a stand against the enemy for your children. Do you know how sick and tired I am of hearing these kids taking their own lives in our school districts? My goodness, it's terrible. We've got to take a stand. Fight against the enemy. Do not allow your child, your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, do not allow them to fall to the deception of the enemy. Take a stand. Get on your knees. Pray for them. Teach them the word of God. Show them the right thing to do. Show them that they need to come to church. Show them they need to grow in Christ so that they can get hope. Because the ones who are threatening to take their own lives have no hope. Yeah, I'm pretty passionate about that. There's no reason why a teenager should think about taking their life. My goodness. My goodness. We think this is a joke? The enemy is no joke. So we take a stand, parents. Encourage your neighbors. Encourage your friends. Talk to them about the Lord. You know kids. You know some kids out there that are all messed up right now. Share the light. Pray for them. Take a stand. Spouses need to take a stand and fight for your spouse. Fight for your husband. Fight for your wife. Take a stand against the enemy. He wants to destroy your relationship. Don't be ignorant of that. 50% of the marriages today end up in divorce. You tell me if the enemy is not trying to mess with people. And that's in the church as well as outside the church. The enemy is trying to destroy, my friends. He always has. And until his time is over, that's what he's doing. So we take our stand. Take our stand. Christians need to take a stand and fight for their God. Fight for their God-given rights. Stand up. Make our voices said. No, I believe in the Lord. I trust in his word. I will follow what my God says. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Pray for each other. Believers, take a moment. Look around. Look around. Look at your neighbors. Look behind you. They need your prayer. I need your prayer. We need to pray for each other because together we're stronger. So we come to church. We are a church body at the Olive Branch. We are a church family. Together we pray for one another. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your teachers. Pray for each other. And we will all do this in the name of the Lord. And we will win this battle. Because my victory is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning that we take a stand against the evil one, the Antichrist, the one that would come against the things of God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that every man, woman, child would arise up and would take their stand against the enemy. Not against each other, but against the one who causes the pain, who's trying to disrupt our walk with God. So let us be praying for our families. Let us arise. Let us be strong in the Lord. Let us lead our kids. Let us lead our neighbors. Let us continue to preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that all could be saved and none should perish. We will change this world if we continue to preach the gospels just like the apostles did. We thank you, Father. I thank you for today and what it meant and everything we've achieved today, God, because it's in your name. And my final prayer is this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not confessed Jesus as Lord, you haven't made that decision and said, yes, God, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. That's the confession of faith, the Bible says, to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ died. Believe that Jesus Christ loves you. Ask him to forgive you and he will come into your heart and be your Lord. If you haven't done that, I want to pray with you, because that's the greatest thing you can do in your life, is to submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. Dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to be my Lord, my Savior. God, I'm sorry that I've messed up. I'm sorry, God, I haven't done things always the way I'm supposed to do them. But God, I ask you now to forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my shortcomings, God. Come into my life and be my Lord. Be my Savior. I believe that you died for me, God. I believe that 3 days later you rose again. And I believe you did this for me. And I ask you now to come into my heart. Be my God. Help me to live for you, Lord, and to make my life an offering and to live according to your word. I thank you, God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name.